Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is it is a great word today. We are coming back to getting back in order. We did miss a show on yesterday. No, whatever the day, I believe it was Sunday show we had to do yesterday. And so grateful. It was a absolutely awesome show. God always knows what he is doing and why he is doing it. So praying that you can hear me clearly this morning, trying a different headset to hopeful that you will be able to hear me a little bit more clearly today. I'm going to be in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 45 through 48. And we'll be back into our Psalm, the 12th Psalm. Actually, we'll be in, the 13th Psalm this morning, as well as Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, and Matthew chapter 15. So we are back on track. So let's pray. Father God in heaven, I am so grateful to be your daughter, Lord God, to lift up the name of Jesus as we go through your word. Lord God, I ask as I do every day, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. I lift my head, Lord God, and lift up my hands in praise. Asking you as always, Lord God, increase as I decrease. And Father God, for you are my strength. You are my strength, Lord. I say again, you are my strength. And Lord, I thank you for being my Redeemer. I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who took my awful sins to the cross. Lord God, I ask you to forgive me of anything that I may have said, that I may have done, in thought, in word, or in deed, against your divine majesty. For Lord God, you are my judge, my creator. You are my everything. And it's in the name of the matchless Savior Christ Jesus, I lift this word up to you, Lord God, to hide me behind the cross as you increase and I decrease, in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving honor to God. Thanking him for another day. Thanking him that he woke me up this morning, clothed in my right mind. Whew, ready with a pep in my step, ready to move forward into the day. So we are going to be coming out of Genesis. You know, our title is coming actually out of the 13th Psalm. And what it did, it was like that last word in the 13th Psalm. So we're going to be a little different today. We're going to start actually in the 13th Psalm, verses 1 through 6. And then we're going to go into Genesis. So we'll have our Psalm and our Proverb first. And then we're going to go into Genesis. And then we'll go in to Matthew chapter 15. But this Psalm just kind of summed up what went on in the life of Joseph to be reunited with his family. And it says it's a chief musician, a psalm of David, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. It says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And I thought, did Joseph feel like that when he was in prison? Did he feel like that when his brothers sold him into slavery? Did he feel like that when he thought he was all alone? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Because can you imagine your brothers and your sisters hating you so much that your brothers sell you into slavery? Prior to selling you into slavery, they wanted to kill you. Your siblings wanted to kill you. And you ask God, how long? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. You know, and you think about this. He says, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? Potiphar's wife was the reason he was in prison, because she lied, just lied, because he was an honorable man and wouldn't sleep with her. And so he's going through all these things. Then his brothers come needing food, and he's what stands between his family and starvation. And he forgives. And then he says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed against them. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But then he says, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Through his affliction, slavery, imprisonment, God pulled him out of the muck and the mire and raised him to the second in command of Egypt, giving him opportunity to help his family, to see his brothers repent and ask forgiveness, to see his father again before his death. Joseph is going to see these things, but he went through to get through, to be raised up bountifully by the Lord. And as we go into our Proverbs, it says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. His brothers went through. Judah, come on now, wind up with twins by his daughter-in-law because he wasn't being honorable. Reuben and Simeon killed his sisters, their sisters' rapists, and every man in the village. But God still saved them. God still watched over them. From Judah came Jesus. From the line of Judah came Jesus. Even though he wasn't honorable, but at least he didn't let them kill his brothers. He sold them into slavery, not understanding that it was for a purpose and a reason. Because understand, had his brothers not had the jealousy of him and had not sold him into slavery, they would have starved to death because they would not have had a Joseph to help him get through. Adversity, we never know that God may use your adversity to bring a blessing. So don't get tired in well-doing. Don't get upset when things go wrong in your life. Don't get mad when family mistreats you, because you never know why things go the way they do. It's always for a reason and a purpose. God loves us like that. And as we get ready to go into our word, lift up the name of Jesus this morning and just tell God, thank you, Lord. Even through my adversity, even through my mountain of crazy in my life. Whether your mountain is your finances, whether your mountain is clutter in your life, clutter in your mind. Whatever your situation may be, give it to God and watch him work in your life. We are believing God today that he will move bountifully in your life. As you sing praises to the Lord, know that God is in charge of everything. And as we get into our word this morning, it says in Genesis chapter 43, now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass, grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, go back, buy us a little food. And again, remember, they went to Egypt. And when Joseph saw his little brother, he was moved. When he saw Benjamin, he was moved. And he wept. And we may have read this before, but we're reading it again because it brings everything together in today's lesson. And so as we go, we're going to be a little longer today. We are scheduled to end at, if we don't finish, we got, God, I put in a buffer of time this morning so that we can get through all of this word because it is so important that we get through it all and we read it all. You know, and I know we read a lot of this on Sunday. You know, but understand that Joseph went through. We go through. You know, we go through to get through. We go through because God wants us to. You know, and it says that he made haste. You know, and he told him, he said, I am bereaved. Brother Benjamin, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. This is Israel, because he's like, you want to take my baby to where? You know, this is the overview from Sunday's lesson. But, you know, he was concerned because he knew that they had already taken Joseph. He wasn't dumb. He knew something had happened to his son. And he knew that his other sons did not like their brother. So now they got to take Benjamin. Joseph. They got to go before this, what they think is higher up in Pharaoh's cabinet. You know, and this is what he, and then, you know, they said, you know, if it's me, you know, I'm getting on my knees and begging you, Dad, let us take him. Judah said, I'll take responsibility. And so Judah told his dad, Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house. Because Judah took responsibility. And he told his dad, you know, that he could kill his own children if he didn't bring Benjamin back. Now, understand, it's a setup. Joseph is setting them up when he gets Benjamin because he loves his little brother. Hadn't seen him. Think about this. He had not seen Benjamin in 20 years, basically since he was a baby, because he was 17 years old when Benjamin was born, sold him into slavery. So he didn't even get time to enjoy his little brother and to get to know him. So let's go to chapter 45 and start there. And it says, and Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. Come on now. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of do not tear. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flock, your herd, and all that you have. Therefore, I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. But there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen. And you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked to him. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, and Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your household and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh. And he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them, to each man, charge to changes of garments. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan, to Jacob their father, and they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the cart which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. Hallelujah. Everything we think is an adversity may be a blessing in disguise. God knows what he's doing because he wants us to depend on him, not on the money we may have, not on the we may have, not on the job we may have, not on all the things we think are our provision. God will take some stuff away to make you dependent on him, not on what you got, but on what you have, which is the Lord God. God is in charge of your life. When you depend on him, he will make the crooked way straight. He will take you through your storm. He will take you through your adversity to bring you into your blessing. We got to thank God for the blessing. Thank God for the adversity. Thank God when you're going through and you don't know how you're going to make it. When you think, you're saying, Lord, I know I have enough, but why is it not stretching? God will show you why, because he's letting it go down through the shift. He's letting it go down for you to depend on him. Israel, who was blessed, who was bountiful, was going through this famine, not understanding that God had already made provisions through Joseph, that his brothers, in all their envy and all their hatred, what if they had killed him? They would have died themselves. But because God put it in the heart, telling, they thought they was doing something. Made the dad think that his son was dead. 20 years, think that through. 20 years he thought his son was dead, not knowing that he was alive and God was going to use him for provision. And as we go into chapter 46, so Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. So he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones and their wives, in the cart which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and his sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. Now these were the names of the children of Israel, Jacob and his sons, who went to Egypt. Reuben was Jacob's firstborn. The sons of Reuben were Hanok, Palu, Hezron, Carmi. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, Shul. The sons of the Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, Mari. The sons of Judah were Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Issachar were Tola, Puva, Job, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun were Sherat, Elon, and Jaliel. These were the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob in Paddan. Aaron with his daughter Dinah, all the persons his sons and his daughters were 33. The sons of Gad were Zephron, Haggai, Shanu, Esbon, Arari, and Arali. The sons of Asher were Jemna, Isha, Isu, Bera, Shura, the sister. And the sons of Bera were Heber and Melchiel. These were the sons of Zephah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter. And these she bore to Jacob, 16 persons. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, were Joseph and Benjamin. And to Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, bore to him. The sons of Benjamin were Bela, Beker, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehud, Ross, Mappin, Hoppin, Eric, These were the sons of Rachel, who were born to Jacob, 14 persons in all. The son of Dan was Hashum. The son of Naphtali were Jezreel, Juna, Jezer, and Shalom. These were the sons of Bilhah, whom Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, and she bore these to Jacob, 7 persons in all. All the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body besides Jacob's sons, wives, were 66. Sons of Joseph were born to him in Egypt were 2 persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds of their occupation, has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? You shall say, your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. And we will do life lessons questions and what the Bible says for Genesis after we finish chapter 48. And all I can say is this is a great word this morning. God is in charge of everything, and we should never forget that our Lord has us covered. And then it tells us, and then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds, and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. And indeed, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took 5 men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, Pharaoh, your servants are shepherds, both we and also our father. And they said to Pharaoh, we have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock. Then Joseph brought in his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread according to the number in their families. Now there was no bread in all the land, but the famine was very severe. So the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, but the grain which they brought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed. Then Joseph said, give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. When the year had ended, they came to him the next year and said to him, we will not hide from my Lord that our money is gone. My Lord also has herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate. Then Joseph brought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every man of the Egyptians sold his meal, because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he moved them into the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate their rations, which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, indeed, I have brought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look here, is seed for you, and you shall sow the land, and it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh. Four-fifths shall be your own as seed for the field and for your food, for those of your household, and as food for your little ones. So they said, you have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day, that Pharaoh should have one-fifth except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And he says, I will do as you have said. Then he said, swear to me. And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. To 48 of Genesis. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring whom you begot after them shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. But as for me, when I came from Paddan, you died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there. on the way to Ephrath. That is Bethlehem. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given me in this place. And he says, please bring them to me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God be whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of our fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, so he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, but he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you, Israel, will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and my bow. What a word. And we're going to go back and do some life lessons from Genesis. And when we go over to Genesis chapter 45, verses 4 and 5, the life lesson is simple. Do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, but God sent me before you to preserve life. God is in charge of the good in our life. God is in charge of the bad in our life. And God is in charge of the downright ugly that we may go through. We may go through times where we are going through, where we are in lack. God provides. It's times when we're going through plenty, but lack the spiritual growth we need. God is in charge. And there are times that we go through some stuff that we will never speak of because it's so horrible. It's the things that you take to your grave that is just wrong. But then God will bring you through to preserve you. Think about the ugliness of wanting to kill your brother. And then instead you sell him into slavery and lie to your father about it. So I'm sure that Jacob figured out some things. It doesn't say, but we're not dumb. And he wasn't. He remembered that dream. I'm sure that Joseph spoke that they would bow down to him. And what happened? That's what happened. Because he was the second in command of Egypt. He was the one that gave them food to eat. Remember he said, my stock would be bigger than yours. And told them everything that happened. We don't know the plans that God has for us, but there is a plan for your life. And it's that God calls us to have a forgiving spirit, knowing that God remains in control of all that happens to us, releases us to forgive others. He also asks us to trust and obey him day by day and to learn the lessons he set before us. With God before us, who can stand against us? We got to stand and know who we belong to. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he loves you more than you could ever imagine. That's the kind of God we serve, one who loves us, who cares about us, who wants the best for us. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me through adversity, good, bad, and absolutely ugly, with that ratchet woman chasing after him like she was a dog in heat. But I tell you, God still lifted him up. And I'm sure Potiphar knew what was the real deal. That's why he didn't kill him. He still prospered in Potiphar's prison and wondering, why am I here when I didn't do anything wrong? We all go through our times in life where we wonder why we're at the place we're at when we really didn't do anything wrong. But God takes you through to bring you through. And as we go, it says, why doesn't God answer my prayers sooner? God hears our requests and loves us so much that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Then why does it appear to take him so long to respond to some of our most urgent requests? Carefully consider the following 10 reasons. The delay may be caused by. So if you want to grab a pen and a piece of paper to write this down. The reason why God does not answer our prayers immediately. One, I'm going to tell you, he's not an ATM. But this is what Dr. Stanley says. Our disobedience. Our sin can prompt God to withhold his gracious aid. Psalms 81, the 81st Psalms, verses 10 through 12. When we disobey his commands and refuse to repent, he sometimes stops his ears from hearing our request. Note that word. We refuse to repent. We got to repent. When you mess up, you got to get it right by cleaning up. And it says, I doubt. Without faith, no one who asks anything of God will receive what he requests. James 1, 15 and 8. But with faith, all things are possible. Mark 9 and 23. Our attempts at manipulation. Come on now. If we try to control or manipulate God, we should not expect answers to our prayers. 1 Samuel 13, 9 through 14. He is the master. We are the servant. Don't try to tell God what to do. You can't manipulate God. Wrong motivation. Come on now. Neither self-centered request nor those tinged with evil intent will receive an answer. James 4 and 3. God refuses to partner with our lust or our schemes. God's not interested in self-aggrandizement. God is interested in you going to work for him. He's not trying to put you up on no pedestal. We got to understand that everything we do is for the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not for self. You don't have to tell everybody what you did. Well, you know, I did. I go and feed the poor every Thursday. I go and I work at, you know, the food pantry, and I do this and I do that. It's not what God wants to hear. Except for, Lord, I give myself away for you to use me. Number 5, I lack a responsibility. God cannot be expected to compensate for a lazy or negligent person. Proverbs 19 and 15. The Lord has his work to do. We have ours. We can't be sitting back and talking about, Lord, I need this and that, but you don't want to work for it. Lord, I want you to give me this, but you don't want to get out of your bed. Lord, I can't walk, but you don't even try. You know, Lord, I'm hungry, but you won't get up and go fix yourself something to eat. Come on now. Can't be lazy. An illegitimate need. And this thing, you want really a need, or is it something that you are in, it illegitimately come to expect? Often we have bigger eyes than stomachs. Come on now. Well, I want a steak and I want lobster. And knowing you can't eat that big old steak, and knowing good well you're allergic to shellfish and can't eat that lobster, but you order because you just want to have it because somebody else does. You know, an illegitimate need. It's not. Some Louis Vuitton shoes, and I want a Louis Vuitton purse, and I want a Louis Vuitton hat, and I want that Louis Vuitton scarf. Why do you need $4,000 worth of stuff? Really? Why? $4,000 for a scarf, a hat, a purse, and shoes. Why? I don't need a baseball hat that costs $900. And the only reason I know this is because I saw an ad for a Louis Vuitton. And I looked at some of them prices just because I knew I would use it for a lesson. I didn't know it would be today. But I tell you this, that's an illegitimate need. It's not, you don't need that. A hat that's $2.50 will cover your ears and not be as expensive as a $900 hat. Come on now. A scarf that costs you $10. Instead of one that said, my husband got me a Louis Vuitton purse. I'm thankful for that. But it's in a box. And I bring it out when God tells me I can. Because it was not that. I'm thankful that he loved me enough to give me nice things. You know, but God sometimes will take what you got. My husband got me a Mercedes-Benz, yeah. And I'm not saying this in bragging because I don't have it anymore. Because it was in an accident. And I was upset. I'm just going to be honest. I'm like, but my husband gave me this. This car was from my husband. He's using it to do something for you, God. I was taking somebody home. How did my car get flooded out? And God told me, very honestly, I told you to go right and you went left. Bam. Disobedience. We got to be obedient to God. Disobedient. Love my God. Because he said, go right, and I went left. We can't go like that. All that stuff means nothing. And if that's all you ask for, well, Lord, I had a Mercedes, and I want another Mercedes, and I think you owe me my car. And I don't. No, he don't owe you anything but life, and life more abundantly. Through Jesus Christ, because you repented and you are redeemed. Eyes bigger. You know, folks will have an expensive car and no place to live. Come on now. We got to understand God is in charge. Number 7, rejecting God's method. Don't turn away a means of supply merely because it doesn't fit your expectation or criteria. Joshua 6. A man's name, Naaman, almost made his mistake, and it would have cost him his health. 2 Kings 5, and we know with that. Naaman was told, go and bathe 7 times in the Jordan, and you will be healed. But he got insulted because he was at leprosy and thought that he would just be touched by the prophet and healed. The prophet said, no, you got to go do something for that. And got insulted. Until his servant said, now if he had told you to bring him X number of cattle or whatever, you would have done it. But instead, he just said, go back. And when he did, he came back clean. God's redirection. Sometimes God is in the process of redirecting us or preparing us for something new. Come on now. God loves to do fresh, exciting things with his people. God may have something new for you when you holding on to the old. Number 9, God's desire to teach us. God may want us to focus on our spiritual and eternal needs so that we will learn to trust him in all things and for all things. Sometimes you can have too much, and God will take some stuff to make you dependent on him and not on what you have. Come on now. And this is the biggest one. Number 10, God desires to bring us to repentance. God may want us to own up to our sin, confess it, and repent of it. Luke 15:11-31, if you need the scripture. And even when God delays his answer, he instructs us to keep on praying. Luke 18:1-8. Prayer is life's greatest time saver, even when it doesn't seem like it. What did Jesus do more than anything all through the scriptures? And we're going to go over to Matthew before we get out of here this morning. But all through the word of God, Jesus prayed. Before he was taken into captivity to die on the cross, what was he doing but praying and asking his disciples, can you pray with me for 1 hour? Changes all kinds of things. Prayer will get rid of some spirit. Prayer will clean up some things. We got to pray. And I'm going to go back over these 10 things. Why doesn't God answer my prayer sooner? Number 1, because of our disobedience. Number 2, because of our doubt. Number 3, our manipulation. We're trying to manipulate God. Number 4, wrong motivation. We're wanting whatever it is for the wrong reasons. Number 5, our lack of responsibility. God is not going to give you something you're not prepared for. God's not going to give you more when you can't take care of the little you have. An illegitimate need. We're asking for the wrong reason. We have a covetous spirit, and we want because Sister Susie's got it. We want to have it too. Rejecting God's methods. We want to understand, why can't I have it now? We don't trust God to supply what we need. God's redirection. God may have told you to go right and you chose to go left, so you lost what you had. You got redirected in the wrong direction, and then you have to depend on God. Come on now. God's desire to teach us. God will take you through to teach you to depend on him. But God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, which are so great you will never be able to see them all. God's desire to bring us to repentance. And I say this again. God wants us to own up to our sins, confess it, and repent. That's what God is wanting from us. And as we go, continue in Genesis. I will go down with you to Egypt, Genesis 46:4. And I will also surely bring you up again. Israel found strength to do even a difficult thing once he heard God's promise. For God's word is an immovable anchor in times of storms. He was old, and he was thinking, how am I going to do this? To go all the way down to Egypt. God said, you're going to do it. You're going to make it. Gave him 17 more years of life. 17 more years of life with Joseph. When he lost his son, Joseph was 17 years old. He gave him 17 more years. Look at God. In Genesis 48:11, Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring. God often blesses us in ways far beyond anything we can imagine. We hope for A, and he gives us the whole alphabet. Come on now. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. In Genesis 48 and 15, he blessed Joseph and said, God, who has fed me all my life long to this day. When Israel called God the God who had fed me all my life long to this day, he proclaimed that every good thing we have comes from the hand and grace of God. And when we stand on God's word, we know that he is in charge. And as we go back into our Psalms for today, in Psalm 13 and 1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? At times we might feel as though God has slammed the door to heaven in our face, yet these times do not last. Often he is testing us to see if we will continue to follow him regardless. Are you still following God when you fall? Are you still following God when you're in lack? Are you still following God when you are bountifully blessed? Because you have folks that will come to church and then pray and pray and pray for a job. And then when God gives them the job, you don't see them no more until they lose that job. So when and what we're going through, come to God in your good, come to God in your bad, come to God in your ugly. You got to still come because God will bless you. He will bring you through. In our fifth Psalm, 13th Psalm, verse 5, I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. The Christian life thrives on both memory and hope. We remember how God has shown us mercy in the past, and so we look forward to how he will save us in the future. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Are you singing to God today? Are you looking up today? Are you thanking God today for everything, for your provision? Are you thanking God? And as we go into our New Testament word for this, and when we go into Matthew chapter 15, it says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was sent for a specific purpose. And then she came and worshiped him and said, Lord, help me. Give up. Stop for help for her child. And he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dog. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Why? Because she did not give up. She might not have been one of the descendants of Israel. She might not have been who Jesus came for. But she said, even me, I need you, Lord. Your help. I need your mercy. I need you to heal my child. And she had faith that would do it. And he did. And he told her, woman, great is your faith. Hallelujah. I got to have faith. I drive faith, believing that everything has for me is for me. I have faith that Jesus has never left my side. I have faith that he holds me in the midnight hour. I have faith that I will not stumble and fall permanently, because he's there to pick me up, and that he will provide for my children. I have faith he will provide for my grandchildren. I have faith that he will take care of my pastor and my church family. I have faith that we will not be in lack, that God will send more to be healed at his hospital called a church, called the people that are the nurses and the doctors, filled with love, filled with hope, filled with faith. God will heal the brokenhearted, that God will and God can set the captives free, free from addiction, free from hopelessness and helplessness. God can and God will. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet and healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Now you want to say to yourself, didn't you just see him feed 5,000 plus, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Why do you think he can't feed this multitude here? But let's see what happens. Whew, come on now. Said him, how many loaves did you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude, so that all ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. Understand, the Lord can make a way out of no way. The Lord can give much for a little. All we have to do is have faith and believe. Jesus fed 5,000 plus with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And fed 4,000 plus with 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. We don't know what God can do with a little. All we have to do is sit down and believe. Hallelujah. And when we get to the life lessons from Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman, great is your faith. Only 2 people in the Gospels are said to have great faith, and both of them were Gentiles. The other was a Roman centurion. Jerry, remember Jerry? Who said, all you got to do is just say it, and it's going to be done. And his servant was healed that hour. And great faith does not depend on background or position, but on the heart. You got to remember that. Our faith, it's what comes from a heart. Do you have a heart for God? Do you have a heart of belief? Do you believe that it is so? That comes from faith. Provision. And we saw God give provision to Israel and his children. Provision. God sent a child of his into favor so that when the time came, they would have provision. We got to understand God works in mysterious ways. And it goes on to tell us in Matthew 29 through 38 of chapter 15, the service you do for God may be demanding and draining. You may come to the point where the only thing that can help you is his provision because all other resources have been used up. Good. This is the perfect opportunity for God to remind you that he fuels all the ministry that is done in his name. Come on now. I cannot do this without God. I cannot get up without just a few hours of sleep and do this without God. This morning, I've been up since, probably 2 this morning. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm not going to be able to do a broadcast today. And God just let me go on. He wouldn't let me put it in early. And then he showed me. I told you, just be patient. And here we are. Because God gave me everything I needed to do what I needed to do. And he didn't give it to me until 6 something this morning. After I got back home from having to run an errand. God is good. And he's good all the time. You just got to trust him. And as it goes, being cursed by the testimony of Matthew 15, the people have been on the mountainside with Jesus for 3 days, listening to his words and hoping for healing. They were at revival, y'all. They were at revival. At revival. Jesus saw that they were tired and hungry and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have not continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. I have to say thank you to my pastor because we have food many a Sunday. Folks come in hungry. Kids come in hungry. But they don't leave that way because we have food. We have dinner. We have bags of food that they can take with them. Nobody leaves hungry. If you come into the table hungry, I can tell you, you're going to be spiritually fed and physically fed. God is in charge of everything. Unfortunately, the disciples could not look past the barrenness of their surroundings. They asked, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Forgetting that it had happened already. Forgetting that Jesus had done it already. For him again. I got this. What do you have? You will have and make it stretch. He can take what you have and make it stretch. And it says, where indeed the disciples trusted Christ enough to drop their nets and follow him. Every one of them, even a tax collector. And he said, but they still did not understand that the Lord God would care for all of their needs and the needs of anyone who follows him. God knows that you have run out of resources. In fact, in Matthew 6 and 8, Jesus tells us, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. You've trusted Jesus to provide for your salvation. Can't you also trust him to provide for the other things you need? God will always provide for your needs above and beyond your expectations when you are obeying him. So trust him. He will have compassion on you and will not send you away hungry. God will not send us away in need. He is always there to provide everything you need. All you got to do is trust in him. Lines are open. Moving forward, if there is anyone that has a word that God has given you, please push the number 1 on your phone. And as you are getting ready, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carol. Come on now. Spend the lesson today. Once you stop adding up all your problems, you'll be able to start counting all your blessings. Have a terrific Tuesday. I got to read it one more time. Once you stop adding up problems, you'll be able to start counting all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for that word. That's a word somebody needed today. I needed that word today. And I thank Sister Carolyn for listening to the voice of God, because her word is always on time and on point. Woo! And our word for this morning, our prayer for today, on point again, casting burdens. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah with me? God has given us a word this morning. He has given us food. He has given you a four-course breakfast today. Hallelujah. God of my heart, you are my sustainer and helper. You are the strong rock on which I stand. My feet are planted on you, and I will not be shaken. I cannot pretend that I am full of vitality right now. I have been carrying burdens weighed down by the bulk of them. I can't handle the weight of them anymore. Lord, I've tried to carry them for as long as I could. Your invitation to give you my problems, because I was never meant to carry them on my own. Woo, this is a word for me. Why do I constantly forget that I seem to pick up new ones along the way just as I have handed off others? Lord, my sustainer, you are the one I cling to in the storms of this life. When I lift up my eyes, you have been holding on to me the entire time. As a child goes to their parents with problems, I will come to you. May I be quicker to hand them over as I grow closer to you. Thank you for your faithful love. And the question for today, your field of hope, are you weighed down by? Can you give your burdens to the Lord today? And God is saying to all of us, can you give your burdens to me today? I got you. God lets us know he's got us. He's got me, and he's got you. Give your burdens to the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Good morning, Pastor.
Mother, your line is open.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mother. What has God given you for us today?
I like what you were talking about this morning, why God don't answer prayer. It's because we don't obey. We don't obey. We don't repent. And we don't confess our sins. That's completely beautiful why God don't answer us. It says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true. I'm in Philippians 4 and 8. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I can do all things. Mm. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and I can. And sometimes, like you say, we don't have strength within our own bodies, and we have to press on. And sometimes you don't really feel like going to church, but you have to press. And when you get there, I know when I get there, I feel so much better. And that's my favorite scripture. I really can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May God add a blessing to the readers and the hearers and the doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Woo. Praise the Lord. you know, I got a prophetic word for this morning. And, you know, when you know that a word is for you, you feel it all the way, as they say, down to your pinky toe. And, you know, and I know that I got to do some resting, because I'm not always a rester. I'm not always one that will sit down and rest when I need to. You know, and I thought, wow, God, you know what I needed. And, you know, one of the prophets, and if you're ever on Twitter, she's Real Talk Kim. And, you know, Prophet Kim said, I'm believing that you're being boldly praying for will be answered. Use this day to rest and recharge. You'll need your strength to handle all the blessings coming your way, starting now. So this word this morning blessed me. It blessed me so much. Because, and then when God gave me the title, I'm like, wow, God, to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. And God said, look around. And I did. I said, Lord, thank you. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in, oh, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to. But sometimes God wants us to take a minute and rest. And I didn't understand why God made me go to bed early last night. I'm like, I'm not tired. And no sooner as my head hit my pillow, I was gone. Because he was waking me up early, because he had something for me to do this morning. And all I could say is, thank you, Lord. You know more than I ever will why everything goes the way it goes. And I got a good 7 hours of sleep. And didn't understand that God was preparing me for something he had me to do. So I'm grateful this morning. I'm grateful for this mighty word. I'm grateful for all of you that are listening in. And I'm grateful that Mother Rita is back. I see you acting, Mother Rita. And all I can say is thank God that he answers prayers. And thank all of you from all over this world who have listened in and have been praying for Mother Rita. Because she's listening in this morning. And all I can say is thank you. And for those that hear Mother Valerie come on, Mother Valerie is the sister of Mother Rita. And she is my godmother. And I am grateful for her. And I'm grateful every day I get up to do this job. I do it for God. This is my work time. And he called me, and then I said, yes. Yes, to his will, not mine, but his. So every day that God gives you, thank him for it. For every day that God gives you an opportunity to help somebody, do it. Because you don't understand. You may be adding days to your life because he has given you an assignment. And when you just do it, watch God work in your life. So I thank God for all of you. I thank you, Mother, for joining us this morning. And I'm turning it over to you to pray us out as the Lord watches between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord, knowing that all things are working for your good. And as Mother so graciously spoke this morning, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God today. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him above all heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise him. Praise God today. Praise God today. For he has given you another day. Praise him. Mother, I turn it over to you to pray us out as we thank God today for another day.
Father God, we just want to thank and praise you for who you are. We want to thank and praise you for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the snow. We thank you for forgiveness of all our sins, knowingly and unknowingly. God, I just praise you, the Lord. I give you praise, honor, and glory. I thank you for my sisters, Rita, Janice, and I thank you for my niece, Carolyn. I thank you for all the kindness that have been shown to me throughout the years. God, I give you praise, honor, and glory for Pastor Bridget, the church family. God. You are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, bless all your people and bless the people that don't praise you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. It's a wrap.
Amen. Amen. Family, it's a wrap. God,
it's
for
a wrap.
The extra time. Thank Blog Talk Radio for the extra time this morning to get all the word that we needed to get today. And I can tell you now, I'm full. My stomach was growling this morning. And I thought, wow, I'm hungry. And I didn't know I was hungry for the word, because I feel like I done ate a full course breakfast. I done had it all. And all I can say is, thank you, God. I done had them expensive eggs, and I done had, you know, my turkey bacon, and I'm a fake bacon, as my grandkids call it, you know, because I like a vegetarian bacon. And, you know, I just am grateful. Like I said, I'm filled up. I done had sausage and eggs and pancakes and the whole works. I'm one filled up woman. So thanking God for the big breakfast today. I think I done had breakfast, lunch, and a little bit of dinner, too, this morning. So thanking God and thanking all of you. Have a blessed day, family. It is, Mother. It's a wrap. Why?
It's a wrap.
Pray. We're ready. We always are praying for every one of you. And I just thank God for his willingness to allow us to be together this morning. Thank you all. God bless you all. May his light shine upon you all and give you peace. Thanking God for answered prayer. I love you, Auntie. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.